Many people believe in the spirit world or the spirit realm, and most religions focus on the worship of a being or beings that are believed to be spirit. There are many movies, books, television shows that have human characters interacting with beings from the spirit world as part of their storyline. And often the beings that they encounter are ghosts sometimes or demons. Ghosts are usually viewed as the departed souls of the dead. And these are just a few examples that show that the concept of a spiritual dimension is not strange or foreign to our minds. Many people understand there is a spiritual dimension of some kind. But when encyclopedias, Bible dictionaries, and articles on the subject that are on the internet discuss the subject of spirit, they almost always refer to what people can see. They refer to ghosts or apparitions or other manifestations of things that were not previously visible. Something appears, something shows up, they see something. And I've really not found any of them that really deal with the subject of what spirit itself is. What is spirit? And I think there's a good reason for that, because we understand that spirit lies outside the realm of what we can detect with our five senses. Spirit is outside of that. So to describe what spirit is, that's really what I'm going to talk about in this split sermon. What is spirit? To describe what spirit is, maybe it's good to begin with what spirit isn't. What spirit isn't. So, first of all, spirit is not matter. It's not material. We live in that realm. We live in the realm of matter. We're physical beings living on a physical earth in a physical universe. And all that is in the realm of matter. And everything that is in that realm is composed of the basic building blocks of all matter, atoms. You learn that way back in school. And, of course, further research and study has revealed a lot more about atoms than we used to know. Because we also know that atoms, we used to think, were the smallest particles of matter. But now we know that atoms themselves are composed of protons, neutrons, electrons, and from the field of science called particle physics, we know that even those things, protons, neutrons, electrons, are also composed of numerous smaller particles even than they are, that have names like quarks, lepton, boson, etc., just very, very small particles, but all making up matter. Material universe we live in. All of these particles together that make up all the matter in the material universe are physical. And they have been, they can be detected by physical means. They are not spirit. They're matter. So we safely conclude that spirit is not part of that realm. Spirit is not part of the realm of atoms and protons and neutrons and quarks. It's just not part of that realm at all, since spirit cannot be detected by any physical means. So we know that spirit is not that. Secondly, we know that spirit is not energy. Spirit is not energy. Back in 1905, Albert Einstein published his special theory of relativity. And containing this theory was a formula that you probably all know by heart, learned long ago. It became the most recognized equation in the world. E equals mc squared. Well, pause there and talk about that for a moment. Because that equation, E equals mc squared, maybe at one time, I know I used to study physics in high school and in university, and at one time understood that equation fairly well, but not so much anymore. But there is a simple explanation. The equation expresses the relationship. that simply exists between matter and energy contained within that matter. Just express the relationship between physical matter and the energy that's in that matter, commonly known as nuclear energy. Really what it expressed, the relationship that is expressed as nuclear energy. Einstein's equation, if you recall from your school days, shows that a very small quantity of matter, that's what the M represents, mass in kilogram, very small amount of matter can be converted to a very large amount of energy, the E. E, energy equals mass, mc squared. A little bit of matter can be converted into a great deal of energy. And that multiplier C is the speed of light. If you remember from grade school again, or science, the speed of light, about 290,000, well, 200, in this case, 300,000 meters per second. And you square that number, you get a very big number. 300,000 times 300,000 meters per second. So energy equals matter times speed of light squared. And Einstein proved that that was true. That was a very, very large number. And that equation is best demonstrated by a nuclear hydrogen bomb. Amount of energy, a fusion reaction transforms that small amount of matter into a tremendous amount of energy that exists, again, in each little bit of matter. I'm going to put that in perspective. 1 gram of matter, that's about the weight of an average metal paperclip. Doesn't weigh very much. So 1 gram, about the weight of a paperclip, if converted into energy completely, would produce the energy output of about 85.2 billion BTU. That's the equivalent of the energy released by burning 750,000 gallons of gasoline. The energy in paperclip, the weight of a paperclip, E equals MC squared. It's amazing. But yet, spirit, this energy, think about that, that energy is stored in all matter, stored in everything that exists, but it's still in the material realm. And it's not the spirit realm. So spirit is not matter and it's not energy, but we can use the relationship between matter and energy as an analogy, I think, to help us understand the relationship that exists in the spirit realm, in understanding what is spirit. So let's go to John 4, verse 24, very basic scripture, considering the spirit realm here. John 4, verse 24, we're simply told God is spirit. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. God is not physical. God is spirit. We also find in Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14, Hebrews 1, verse 13 and 14. But to which of the angels has he, God, ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? So angels are also spirits, as God is spirit. And so, by analogy, we can assume that everything in the spirit realm is composed of spirit, just as everything in the material realm is composed of matter. Spirit and matter. What about Ezekiel 10 and verse 1? Go look at that verse with me. Ezekiel 10 and verse 1. What would we conclude here? If everything in the spirit realm is composed of spirit, just like everything in the material realm is composed of matter. Ezekiel 10:1 says this, and I looked, and there in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubim, there appeared something like a sapphire stone, having the appearance of the likeness of a throne. We know from the description it's talking about God's throne. Well, again, since God's throne and God is in the spirit realm, we would conclude that God's throne, whatever furnishings are described in the Bible there at God's throne, would be composed of spirit, not physical. They're composed of spirit. The mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant was a representation of the throne of God in heaven. And of course, that throne in heaven would be made of spirit. And then we have the statements in Hebrews chapter 9. Let's turn there. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Hebrews 9, verse 23 and 24. We find an interesting comments here about the heavenly spirit realm. We read in verse 23, "Therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these," talking about what accompanied the sacrifices and offering and what was done by the Levitical priesthood. "Therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these," those physical copies. "But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." So we see here that the physical temple and any of those things accompanying used at the physical temple, though they were patterned after the design of the heavenly sanctuary where God dwells. Those things are spirit. The things that on the earth, of course, were matter and physical. So again, we would conclude that everything that exists where God dwells is composed of spirit. Everything where God dwells is composed of spirit. Now let's ask this question. Does the spirit realm have anything analogous to the energy of the material realm? Anything in the spirit realm that is analogous to, again, the energy of the material realm? Let's read Acts 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. We know that the time of Pentecost, giving of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, Christ said these words to the disciples gathered there in Jerusalem. He said, Acts 1 verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." We're going to look at that verse a little bit more in the Bible study, but "you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit," says, "has come upon you." And then 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. Where it tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So one way to describe the Holy Spirit is that it's the power of God. It's the power that God uses to do whatever he does. The power that God uses to do what he does. It's a biblical analogy. The Bible makes that analogy, that the Holy Spirit is like power, power that God uses to do what he does. In Luke chapter 1, if you remember when Luke described the miracle of God Most High, God the Father, transforming the Word into human seed to impregnate Mary. Notice how that is described in Luke 1, beginning in verse 31. "The angel said to Mary, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." In verse 35. "And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest God will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." The Holy Spirit will come upon you. That is the power of the highest will overshadow you. So Luke describes this power called Holy Spirit overshadowing her. And it's the power by which God does what he does. The power that of God that overshadowed Mary was the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit is used by God for more than one purpose. The number of purposes that the Holy Spirit has, it's more, much more than just raw power, although it's analogized in the Bible as the power of God, but it's more than just raw power. But it is the power that God uses to do whatever he does. So if we're making a physical, spiritual analogy, then the Holy Spirit can represent the energy. It's like the energy of the spirit realm. It'd be like that, just like the energy contained in matter. It would be like the energy in the spirit realm. But what about interaction between these two realms, spirit and material? What does the Bible say about that? There's really nothing in the realm of matter, physical, that can affect, touch, move, hinder, damage in any way, alter the composition of anything in the spirit realm. Nothing in the physical realm that can do that to anything in the spirit realm. Spirit and spirit beings are not affected by fire, walls, chemicals, or anything else, any kind of barriers or elements in the material realm. Spirit is not affected by any of those things. Spirit is not affected by absolute zero or near absolute zero temperature. Those things don't affect spirit. The cold of outer space would not affect anything in the spirit realm. The heat of the sun or a fusion in an atomic explosion, none of those things would affect anything in the spirit realm. Black holes or gravitational pull, none of those things would affect anything in the spirit realm. But we know this, that spirit beings and things composed of spirit can only be seen by human beings if the spirit being takes visible form. Otherwise, we can't see a spirit being. It has to take a visible form to be able to see it as Gabriel did when he appeared to Mary, or if God enables those in the flesh to see a spirit being. In the account of Balaam, you may remember the angel of God allowed Balaam's donkey to see him and his sword, but didn't let Balaam see him. Not until God opened Balaam's eye. Then he could see the angel of the Lord. So when we again think about the interaction between spirit realm and physical realm, let's look at another example in 2 Kings 6. Here was an interaction between physical human beings and the spirit realm in 2 Kings 6 and verse 16 and 17. On this occasion, as you recall, Elisha prayed. Notice what he prayed. 2 Kings 6, verse 16. When they saw the city surrounded by armies, horses, chariots, Elisha said, answer, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So Elisha prayed, and when the young man's eyes were open, he saw these horses and chariots of fire, things from the spirit realm that God was allowing him to see. So physical matter, things in the material realm, matter, the realm of matter, cannot affect the spirit realm. But we know that the material realm can be greatly affected by the spirit realm. It is possible for material things to be affected by the spirit realm, because God, who is spirit, can and has greatly affected the material world. Whether it's great events like the flood, the plagues on Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, spirit has the power to affect the material realm. or even smaller events like physical healings that some of you have experienced, or other miracles. The spirit realm can affect the physical. So, again, from that we conclude that nothing in the realm of matter can affect anything in the spirit realm, but the spirit realm can greatly affect the material realm, since the material realm was created by God, and he has power over it. What about the creation of the universe? Think about that for a little bit as we just muse a bit about this question, what is spirit? Consider the creation of the universe. Scientists have proven that the universe had a beginning. They currently refer to the theory describing the expansion of the universe from its beginning as cosmological inflation. The term they now use, cosmological inflation, or simply inflation. And when it comes to describing what existed before inflation, they don't have a good description. Talk about the Big Bang Theory and inflation from that, cosmological inflation. But as far as what existed before that inflation, they really don't have a good explanation. One of the first to attempt a description of what existed before the matter in the universe expanded, they all say matter in the universe expanded, and one of the first to explain what existed before that, what has been called the Big Bang Theory, was a Belgian astronomer by the name of George Lemaire. And the British science author John Gribbon wrote in his book, The Birth of Time, he said this, what Lemaire was really talking about was a single atomic nucleus containing all of the mass of the visible universe, which exploded at the beginning of time. Lemaire became something of a celebrity as a result of this elaboration of these ideas, and wrote a number of papers. But that was his theory. And it was published in something called The Hypothesis of the Primal Atom. But again, what's the flaw in that? Lemaire's idea began with matter, all the matter of the universe already in existence. Everything coming from that one particle, one atomic nucleus. So the question we would ask, based on what we know in the Bible, is, well, where did that originate? Where did that matter? Where did that atomic nucleus begin from? How did that begin? Now think again about Einstein's formula, E equals MC squared. We do understand that a very small quantity of matter, if it's totally converted into energy, produces a vast quantity of energy. It can do that. And being an equation, if E equals MC squared, well, then the reverse of that is also true. It's an equation. One side has to be equal to the other side. It's an equation. So that equation would reveal that in this physical realm, it would take a huge amount of energy to produce a very small amount of matter. So what would be the ultimate source then of all that energy to produce the matter of the physical universe? It works one way, it works the other way well. So there have been a lot of attempts to describe what happened to produce the universe that we now see. And all the theory outside of what the Bible reveals to try to explain really fall short and cannot explain what actually happened. If they try to explain it by purely physical means, it doesn't work. They can't explain it by looking only at the physical, because we know that the material universe, as it exists, was created by the God family of the spirit realm. All their attempts to explain it by purely physical things simply doesn't work. Let's read in Ephesians 3 and verse 9. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. Again, think about spirit. What is spirit? Ephesians 3 verse 9 says this, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. God who created all things, the beginning of everything, created all things through Jesus Christ. And then Hebrews 11, verse 3. Hebrews 11 and verse 3 makes this comment. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. They're made by the spirit realm, God. Again, trying to explain it from a purely physical point of view simply doesn't work. You can't explain it. So we don't know for sure exactly what God did. We're given some glimpse, but we're not told exactly what God did to create the heavens and the earth. Whatever he did, the Bible records that things which are seen were made of things that are not seen. That we believe in faith. Again, the original question, what is spirit? So, what is spirit? Really, all we can really say for sure is that it is not matter. It is not the energy that is from matter. Spirit is what exists in the realm of God. Things that were, things that are, and things that always will be is what the spirit realm is all about. Things that always were, God and the Word. Things that are, created the angelic beings in the spirit world. And things that always will be, spirit realm as it exists now, and the future family of God will exist forever. So again, that's about the best we can do in understanding what is spirit until that time when we hope to be changed to spirit beings, and then we can ask God to explain it to us in greater detail.